I was originally earlier in the week, I was going to preach out of the second reading. And so you'll see in the bulletin that you have some homily notes rooted in the second reading today from 2 Peter. But during the week, it occurred to me that there's some things going on in our community getting ready to evangelize that I needed to spend a little more time with you. So I'm going to preach out of the gospel. But if you were to want to get an additional homily, you can read the bulletin summary or go to my blog and check out the title of the sermon, The Fire, next time. But I'll say this, just one, shall we say, humorous thing occurs to me when it comes to the first reading. You know, it says that for God, 1,000 years is like a watch in the night. One day, a person went to God and was praying. And he said, God, he said, for you, I guess 1,000 years is like a minute. And God said, yes, yes. But $1 million is like a penny to you. Yes. Can I have a penny? And God said, just a minute. All right. Church, we have a gospel today, and I you know, I like to usually go through the whole passage. I'm going to focus on one line. One line. I'll talk to you about that line in just a minute. But just a little background. We see that John the Baptist is out in the desert and he's preaching. And John the Baptist was a good preacher. People have to go miles out into the desert to listen to him preach. Now, some folks today won't even get in their car, their heated car, and come listen to me preach. But in the end, John the Baptist was a great preacher, and he was so good that people said he must be the Messiah. But you know, John the Baptist was a man of truth. John said, I'm not the Messiah. I'm the voice of someone crying in the wilderness, prepare, prepare the way of the Lord. That's one of those key words for Advent, isn't it? Get ready, prepare. The Lord is coming, and not just at Christmas. He's coming again in glory. And you got to get ready for the great day of the Lord. Otherwise, it'd be a terrible day. So the Lord, through John, is saying, prepare, prepare, prepare. And then John goes on to say something about the Lord. And he says, you know, I've baptized you with water. But there's someone coming after me. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. There's someone coming. I baptize you with water, but someone coming after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And some of the Gospels add, and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, church, the question comes then, what does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? What does it mean? Is it different than our baptism with water? No. But to be baptized, John said, I can come and give you a ceremony, but Jesus will give you the reality. I can point to him, but he is the one. And so it is that a lot of us think of baptism primarily as something whereby we're washed clean of our sins. And we are. But baptism doesn't just take away a negative thing. Church, it gives you new life. What is it? What is it to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I want to say to you that I made some notes here, and I'm just going to go through them, but I want you, if you would, for just a minute, to take your bulletins and get a yellow sheet out that says a guide for writing a testimony. A guide for writing a testimony. And I want you not to be bothered with it now. Just set it aside so you can grab it quickly in a minute, all right? In other words, prepare. Prepare. Now just set it aside and don't worry about it now, but just have it handy. Because getting an understanding of what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is essential for us who will testify to somebody else. Amen? So then, what does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? It means knowing what we have received in baptism and confirmation, but not knowing in just an intellectual sense, knowing in an experiential way that God has set me free, that God has given me a new life. Are you praying with me? God has set us free. In other words, it means having our faith come fully alive. You know, all the prophets promised a day when God would send forth His Spirit on all mankind. And Peter was preaching a sermon one day, and it was a special day. It was the Feast of Pentecost. And 120 people were gathered in the upper room, and the doors were locked because they were afraid. They were afraid. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit came like tongues of fire and a rushing wind, and all their fear went away. All the fear went away, and they opened the doors and went out and began shouting about Jesus. Someone say, Jesus. Shouting and proclaiming Jesus without fear. And Peter gave a sermon. It was a good sermon, because that day, 3,000 were added to their number. I heard a bishop once say, he said, Peter preached one sermon and got 3,000 converts. Some of us preach 3,000 sermons and don't get any converts. Oh, church, pray for the clergy. I said, pray for the clergy. That we can, first of all, experience our baptism in the Holy Spirit, to be men who are set on fire with the truth of what God has done in our life, who speak to you as men of experience, who preach what we know and experience in our life. Pray for fiery preachers. Pray for preachers who know and can understand what's happening in their own life so that they can share it. So again, I ask you, what does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Again, it means knowing, not just intellectual knowing, but experiential knowing. Knowing what we have received in our baptism, in our confirmation. Knowing what God is doing in our life. Not just knowing or living by inference. Now, what I mean by inference is that someone will say it's true because somebody else said so. Jesus is Lord and He can give me the victory because my mother said so, or my preacher said so, or even the Bible said so. That's all good. It's a good start. Faith comes by hearing. But church, at some point, it has to be something that you say so. And you don't just say so because you're supposed to say so. You say so because you know so. In my own life, in the laboratory of my own life, I have tested God's Word and found it to be true. I know and experience that He is Lord, that He can save me, He has set me free, and He's giving me a new life. My mind is changing, becoming more biblical, My priorities are better. I'm seeing sins put to death. I'm seeing healing, grace, strength. I'm experiencing His mercy, His love for me, and I'm beginning to love others. Church, it's real. It's happening in my life. More confident, more serene, more joyful. I'm not saying I never have a bad day. I'm not saying I'm never afraid. I'm just going to say I'm not afraid like I used to be. I'm just going to say that I'm more loving and more compassionate. I'm more generous, and I'm not boasting except in Jesus. Because I'll tell you what, Charles Pope all by himself is selfish, is turned in, is shy and concerned about what... But Jesus is turning me out. But you see, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit means to have our faith come alive and be real. Not just words on the pages of a book, not just intellectual information, but transformation. Real change. I know I can just hear a few moments ago, there's some other witnesses in this house, amen? Getting our testimony together. Because brothers and sisters, how can you convince anyone if you're not convinced yourself? And so, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is to come to deeper and deeper conviction of the truth of God's Word and knowing that He's doing it in my life. I don't need to look somewhere for proof. I just look at what He's doing for me. Praise God. Now, one of the things that we're working on is trying to bring some folks back to church. Parents, you want your kids to go to church? It's great, but why do you go to church? Is it because it's a law of the church? Well, yes, that's one reason, that's good. But brothers and sisters, I hope that we're all here today, not just because it's a rule and we have to be here. I hope you're here today because you love Jesus Christ and you've experienced His love for you and what He's doing in your life, and you want to bring your children, your grandchildren, and your friends and your spouses to God's house, to bring them to this place where they can experience what you've experienced, a living, transformative proclamation of God's Word, a powerful change that comes upon you through the reception of the Holy Communion over the years. That as you've been faithful to God, faithful to prayer, faithful to Scripture, faithful to being in God's house, you can say, it's changing my life. And I'm so joyful at what God is doing for me in this place of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian that I'm saying, come and go with me to my Father's house. I've got a joy I want to share with you. That's so different than just saying, go to church because you have to. Well, you do. It's in the commandments. You might as well make it plain. But there's so much more. I hope you're here today not just because you have to be. I hope you're here today because you want to be. And you're so glad to be in God's house. Because in the end, that's the fire that God wants to set in us. And people are attracted by joy. They're attracted by zeal and excitement. But you know, too many Christians have settled down with a notion of the faith that they should basically be praying, but basically bored, trying to soldier on, get through life, and eventually go home and be with God. Is that the best that the death of the Son of God can do for you? That you should live vaguely depressed and bored? Or did God die to give you a joy, an excitement, a thrill of coming to know Him? There's going to be trouble in this world. Jesus says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Ah, but He said, have confidence. I've overcome the world. A joy, a thrill, an excitement. Jesus died to give you the Holy Spirit. And what is the Holy Spirit but the love of God, the joy of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God, the very life of God in us? And that's at the heart of giving real testimony. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit is to come to know and experience the power of what you received in your baptism, in your confirmation, in what you receive in Holy Communion, in every aspect of your Christian walk, to have your mind lit up, your heart alive, joyful, your mind clear and alert so that you see and know what God is doing in your life. Walking around vaguely in a half coma and dazed and depressed, that's not the normal Christian life. Are you praying with me? That is not the normal Christian life. So John the Baptist is standing now at the riverside, and he says, pay attention. I baptize you with water. There's someone coming after me. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will set you on fire with God's love and give you the very life of God. Wholly change and transform your life and conform you to His own magnificent, holy, glorious, blessed, beautiful, and joyful life. Are you praying with me? I've asked you in this Advent season to spend a little time considering your testimony. You hear me, I get up here and testify occasionally, and you hear sometimes family and friends, but you know, we Catholics aren't too good at working on our testimony. And that's got to change. And it's important for us to be able to really reflect in our life what the Lord is doing. And to do it in a prayerful, but a kind of a systematic way. And that's why I asked you to take this yellow sheet out. So take it for a moment now, and I'm hoping that this will help you to begin to develop a testimony. I don't say it's a perfect instrument. I woke up early at 4 o'clock on Friday morning and I said, it's time. And I wrote this out. So just take it. It was written at 4 in the morning. That's all right. Sometimes God does good work at 4 in the morning. Amen. Sometimes I say, how can I pray at an unholy hour? There he was, though. He said, get up now. But listen, getting our testimony together is asking for the Holy Spirit to anoint your mind. I'm promising you something, brothers and sisters. The devil wants to steal away any knowledge in you of God or of what God has done for you. He wants to make you forgetful of the glory of God. The devil wants to steal from you knowledge of God, knowledge of what He's done for you. Take back what the devil stole from you. I said, take back what the devil is trying to steal from you. Let the Holy Spirit anoint your mind. And this little paper is just one way to pray. But before you really pray it, just ask the Holy Spirit to touch your mind and heart. Now, what I'm going to do with you is read through some of this. I'm only going to read the bold text out loud. And then I'm going to pause. And I'm just going to ask you to read the text that's not bold and spend just a couple moments in prayer about it. Of course, we can only do a few moments in church together. But I'm going to ask you to take this home and pray a little bit more over these things. And to begin to get your testimony together. And the goal is for you, by the Feast of Epiphany, which is 2 weeks after Christmas, the goal is to get you to perhaps put some of this in writing and give it like a Christmas card to the Lord, a gift to the Lord, saying, Lord, You are the perfect gift. I have found the perfect gift. It's not an iPad 2. It's You, O Lord. And as you write out your testimony of gratitude to God for what He's done for you, you begin to develop your own testimony that you can joyfully share with somebody else. So let's take a look at it now, and I'll just read the bold and pause, and you read the text that's tucked in underneath it. Lord Jesus, at Christmas, I want to thank You for the gift You are to me. You've been so good to me over the years. Someone say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Even in the difficult times when I struggled to see your goodness, I can see now that you were still being good to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the special people in my life who have told me of you and have witnessed to me of your goodness. Someone say, thank you, Lord. Thank you also for my church, Lord, for weekly Mass. Oh, how your word lights up and transforms my mind. My thoughts are different, somehow more holy and biblical. The wonderful gift of soulful music, too, has blessed my soul and has encouraged me when I was down, challenged me when I was complacent, and put your word deep in my soul. Thank you for the joy of gathering with my brothers and sisters to praise you. Thank you for the witness and the strength that they have been to me. And thank you, Lord, for Holy Communion. It's like medicine for me. Over the years, as I've heard your word and received your body and blood, I'm seeing real changes in my life as I become more like you, whom I receive. Yes, thank you, Lord. I love you. I've been so blessed to know you, to love you, and to experience your power in my life. Give me, Lord, a joyful recollection of all you've done for me. Help me then to testify to others what a gift you and your church are to me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Again, it's a way of disciplining your mind, letting the Holy Spirit anoint your mind, and taking back what the devil wants to steal from you. He wants to steal from you knowledge, experience. We tend to be negative, don't we? We tend to think only of the things that go wrong. Church, God's been good, and he's blessed every one of us. And I hope and pray that you'll get your testimony together. Some of us here are maybe more comfortable than others in testifying. But the first step in bringing anybody to God is to know him yourself. Because if you're not even convinced yourself, how are you going to convince somebody else? But the more you begin to know and experience that God is real and know Jesus for yourself, that's baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's receiving the new mind and the new heart from God and experiencing a real change in your life, a transformation. That's baptism in the Holy Spirit. Is new life in Christ. And the more you get in touch with that and begin to know and be able to articulate how good God has been, and we all got to be humble and say, I'm not what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. And if you've been faithful to God and you haven't turned your back on him, I know you've got changes. You've got blessings to talk about. You've made progress. Let the Lord touch your mind. Anoint your heart. Let it come alive with joy and with gratitude at what he's already done for you. There may be miles to go before you sleep. That's all right. But you got a testimony. You've got a testimony to give. And it's in your heart right now. And so I hope that one day you'll be able to say with me, because you know it's true about me, I thought I wasn't going to testify, but I couldn't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. And I started walking, started talking, started singing, not too much, started shouting. Oh, what the Lord has done for me. God's been good, church. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit is to know and experience the completely new and transformed life that you've received, and then start to shout and talk and sing what God has done for you. Amen.